Don't hit the table, though, because that messes up the mic.
Does it really mess up?
I don't know. We're going to find out. Okay. Look, if we do this, I can see it in the sound wave. Hey, welcome to the Reflex Blue Show. I think we should use that as our opening. We're having show and Donovan's tongue-tied. Yeah. So it is a rainy day in Omaha,
it's
Nebraska.
It's not real nice here. It's kind of cold.
2 days before Thanksgiving, I think. Oh, wait. I may have drawn back the curtain a little bit there. It's actually...
like a week after Thanksgiving.
It's like a week after Thanksgiving, I'm sure. Boy, I put on weight. I ate lots of turkey and slept for 4 days.
I really didn't want to say anything, dude.
Yeah. I appreciate that. But now it's in the open. We can talk about my obsessive turkey weight gain from the holidays. Christmas is coming up soon. It's
okay,
just getting worse.
Well, in celebration, we brought in from South Carolina.
Yeah.
Jason Salentis.
Jason.
Welcome, Jason.
Hey.
How are you doing today?
I'm good.
I'm gonna ask you to lean in or get up on your mic just a little bit more.
Better.
Bring the mic to you,
yeah.
Whichever
yeah.
you'd like to do.
Okay.
Just so we can make sure that our listeners can hear you. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
You're in town to see family, I understand, and we've sort of shanghaied you into doing a show.
That's exactly right.
Awesome. I'm excited about this. So, Donovan, tell everyone a little bit about Jason.
Jason's one of the original authors of Speak Up. What were there, like 11 or 12 of you guys? 13, 18, 400?
It was high. At some point, I think it was about 400 of us. I don't know the original number.
And you were on there basically almost the entire run of Speak Up.
2004 to 2009. So I was on the middle to last wave.
Right.
Okay.
So not actually an original, but
right.
that was a pretty.
And he also spends his time as a design educator.
This is true. He likes to go by teacher. We've had this conversation. He's a teacher of design at Winthrop.
Winthrop, yes.
Winthrop.
And we're looking forward to you schooling this AOL logo.
Oh, yeah. We're going to talk about the AOL logo mess in a little bit. But let's talk about teaching for a little bit.
He's also an author, which we'll also get to.
We kind of covered the author, but oh, and you have.
Well, we'll talk about
book,
the book, yeah.
And a little bit, we've got a whole crap load of things to talk about today. I'm excited. You're okay.
I'm always excited.
I'm
going to
carry the excitement for the show for Donovan. Maybe we should have got some lunch in you before we started recording.
No, that would make it worse.
So, Jason, how long have you been teaching design?
Probably since I left graduate school in 2005, but even when I lived here in Nebraska, I taught as far back as 1998.
Wait a minute, you taught around here?
I taught at University of Nebraska-Lincoln as an adjunct for about 3 years. So, yeah.
Then you taught with a man whose name I won't throw onto the show, but...
You know Ron.
Yeah, I know Ron.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
I guess we can say Ron's name.
I still don't even think I've ever met Ron.
You went to school there, didn't you?
No, I went to Kearney, which is like Lincoln, but... About the size of a neighborhood.
See, because I came to find out recently that Steve and I both went to UNL together.
Steve Gordon?
Steve Gordon.
Our own Steve?
Yes.
Wow.
At the same time?
Yes. Yes.
Man.
And we had the same teacher there, and then we exited the program, and, you know, we went on our separate ways. And
that's crazy.
It's very crazy.
It's small world stuff.
Nebraska is small world.
I don't think a lot of people realize that Omaha, Nebraska is the center of the graphic design world if you are young and hip. This is where everything emanates from here.
And we are basically in the dead middle of it right here on 74th and Pacific.
Technically, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is about, you know, location-wise, we're certainly in the middle.
That's right.
We're in the middle of something.
We're in the epicenter of the design universe right here.
It's called the crossroads, by the way.
We should.
not on accident.
Nice. That is true. So let's talk a little bit. Let's talk about teaching. We have a lot of students that listen to the show. We have a couple of design educators. This one goes out to Paul, the professor Burke Bigler. This has actually come up with some courses I've been teaching as of late. Donovan is taking a bit of a breather from teaching around here, and so I'm kind of stepping in.
It's not like I'm teaching elsewhere. You say from around here, and then you make it sound like I'm like moonlighting. And like
anyway,
looking.
We teach at the same school, and you teach, you know, web design normally, and I do a little bit of web design, so now I'm teaching that class. And what I've found is basically this is the only web design class that are... program has, and so I find like my students are really well versed in print design, but then they get onto the web and they don't know what the hell they're doing, even though it's not like supposed to be fundamentally different. They don't have a huge What's the word I'm looking for, Donovan? Help me out. Finish my sentences.
Grasp of the differences between them? The slight differences between the web and the print?
Sure, let's go with that. Do you feel like design education needs to incorporate more of the web or elsewhere from here? Is it better than that? Do you feel like there's a enough emphasis on design for the web versus design for print in design education these days?
Most of the places that I've went to school or taught at, they do have different tracks, and you can take a print track or a digital track. But even those places where you have the different tracks, if you're print, you'll have to take the web stuff just to learn a little bit. And if you're web, you'll have to take the print stuff to learn a little of it. As far as the way that people's minds think, I think right now things are still kind of in that infancy stage where people don't have a total understanding.
The curriculum that Nate's talking about currently has the class where it would be the tracked right before you would jump off and then go further into one or the other. And they don't have the, when you jump off the web end, they don't have anything there outside of the, unless you go to the programming department, which isn't really what a designer wants to do.
Yeah, at least around here, it's a completely different.
So is this a degree in interactive design?
No, it's a print degree.
It's a print degree.
The problem is there's
But no, it's not a print degree, and that's kind of what I'm getting to. It's a graphic design. It's a graphic design. That is what it is. And, you know, in departments like that, like, I feel like there's a huge disconnect between, well, you know, we've been teaching basically graphic design for the printed world for so long, for decades now, people know how to do that. You know, there's a track record built up about, you know, how to walk people through, you know, the steps of going from, you know, doing some art while you're in high school to being a full-fledged graphic designer by the time you graduate. The web still being quite new, I feel like it hasn't quite worked its way into that system yet, or that's still very, you know, ancillary to it. Like you said, like it has to be a completely different program.
Yeah, and it should be. I think it should be a totally different program. And I think those that go down the print track should just respect the print track, stay with it, and be specialists in that area. And that's a line of thinking that not everybody's going to agree with.
Right.
And I
kind of like the controversy you're stirring up here.
I wouldn't go that far. The digital folks should just stay in the digital track and not even fuss around with the print stuff. And at some point, they should intersect later on down the line.
Right.
But as far as the education goes, it feels like there's, at present, way too much stuff to jam into 4 years or 5 years as it is. Why force the students to learn print and web and get out of their mastering boat? It just seems unreasonable.
Right. So you don't feel like there's a way where they could?
Well, you could turn yourself into a jack of all trades, master of none.
And there you go.
And that's what could happen. At this point, I just don't foresee a way to marry them up.
Or we could change it into like a doctorate degree. Design is now a doctorate and it's an 8-year college.
That'd be awesome, dude. Could you imagine just going to college for design for 8 years? There's a part of me that kind of wants to go back a little bit. Like, I want to go back and like re-enroll, but like not in like...
You're doing
courses.
Anything
like,
possible
to, like,
so you can be known as Dr. Voss.
I actually went to school for 8 years and studied design.
Was it red? The unbridled creativity of being in school still has some allure to me.
Yeah, I'm not proud to admit it, but it took me 8 years. Five years undergrad, 3 years graduate.
I was gonna say you have some graduate in there though. It's not like you. You were just in 8 years just struggling to get through, you know, graphic design 101. No. Man, I just can't get my pottery class down. I got to retake that again. They're not going to let me graduate.
No, but there was something to what you're saying about, okay, 8 years. I think that anymore, 4 to 5 years, you just can't get everything in there. And you're really looking at 2 or 3 years after you graduate to get everything from the field in an internship or on the job need. So your math holds up. I mean, it is really 8 years. And then there's a point where most people say, okay, I'm going to stick with web. I'm not going to do print.
Right. Or there's a point where you're working for yourself and you say, wow, I really need to learn the web just so that I can feed myself.
That happens a lot.
That actually turns out that's a thing.
You think that happens a lot?
In the world. When you're a solo designer, what I've found in the world is that you sort of need to be that jack of all trades, because someone will come to you one day and need a brochure, or someone else will come to you the very next day and need a website, and then you, depending on your business level, if it's anything like mine, I mean, you might not be in a spot where you can turn anything.
But even at that point, you still specialize in something. Like, you specialize in more illustration, but it doesn't mean you won't do
my design side, I specialize in, like, identity and print. So let's talk more about me.
No, I think this is a very valid topic, and I've proposed something to AIGA Charlotte to have a roundtable discussion here. We're going to have a design week in 2010 in March and April. It's going to be a really big event. It's all design, all week.
Design 8 years. We've already discussed this.
Yeah.
Design 8 years, yes or no?
Yeah. No, I mean, it's not a week long. It's an 8 year length of events.
That's pretty rough, dude.
Well, over that 8 years, do you guys believe in the specialist tract where, okay, it's all web, that's all you do, all illustration, all you do, all print, all you do, or do you agree that these folks out there who are doing jack-of-all-trades business, okay, I'll do a logo here, I'll do a cartoon here, I'll do a website here, and then they come around the bend again and repeat things?
I'll tell you, I've seen it both ways. I've seen people who do that very well because they are talented, organized, very driven, creative people. And then, you know, and then I've seen less experienced, less talented people do that very poorly. I think it's a, you know, certainly a valid way to be a designer. I just, you know, it's a tougher way to be a designer because you have to have a command of so much more.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I run a small shop here, and so we specialize in a few things, but really we do a wide variety because to serve our clients properly and for us not to be bored, we don't do just one item. So we do the more, what you'd call the jack of all trades.
But it's corporate communications.
Right.
Right? Like, and for what kind of corporate entity are you talking? Are they?
Most of our clients are small businesses.
So. Small businesses. Right. In the tech industry, that's in the healthcare. Really
true. Well, there.
You got some, you'd certainly, I would say that your clientele is more like mid-size.
Okay, mid-size. But in what domain? Are they healthcare? Are they...
Oh, they range. I mean...
All over the map. They could be nonprofits.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So we don't have that specialization that from the aspect that we only do one thing for one type of client.
Do you feel that there could be a value, though, if a designer did have a special trade, I do web, and I only do web for healthcare? That's it. Do you feel that would be valuable?
Yeah, until the healthcare industry goes down, and then you're screwed.
Healthcare ain't going anywhere.
But I mean, it doesn't. But if you specialize in only one industry, then you're. It depends on your market and who you're hitting. We're in a smaller market here in Omaha.
Yeah.
So if you want to serve the clients around here, I think you have to be a little more general than you would in say a larger city.
If you were in like the South and you specialized in NASCAR.
Yes. Okay.
Pulling it in.
That's a good point.
Right, but if you're out here, there are plenty of places, you know, and not to. This is just going to make us.
Well, no.
Sound
okay.
Boring,
so no. I'll give you one. So I've got a friend who lives in a smaller.
Why don't you jump in and do one?
I will. I've got a friend who works in an even smaller town, like a couple hours from here.
Sure.
And she is even more broad based on what she does because she has to serve the people in that community, and they're not going to go even to a large city like Omaha. And so she generalizes and does jack of trades to even a further extent.
Who's that?
I'm not going to give names.
You don't remember her name, do you?
That's right. I don't remember people's names.
That's me. Now, I was just going to say that there's a lot of people that specialize in agriculture out here.
Here in Nebraska.
Here in Nebraska, which totally decimates our line about being the center of the design world. But, hey, it's like doing retail in New York.
People in New York eat, too.
Yeah, that's true.
So is the future of design going to be about specialization? Do you feel like the folks in Nebraska need to start to specialize in only agriculture?
You know, I don't know if I agree about specializing in only agriculture, but I do agree that as more and more people get into the design field, as you see college enrollments are up and graduates are way up for the field, I feel like specialization will be a huge differentiating factor from one designer or one design firm to the next, the further we go along.
I feel, though, that also that if you specialize too much and you don't leave your comfort zone at all, you get kind of that tunnel vision and you kind of lose sight of some of the things that could add to your creativity.
Like Adams Morioka and all that really terrible identity work they do. I feel bad for those guys, honestly. Yeah,
that was
Sean.
Yeah, that was the example.
That was just for him or Noreen, just in case.
I have no comment.
Big love to those guys. Okay, so, speaking of identity work.
This is our hot
Olin's
news.
struck again this week, or last week, 2 weeks ago?
Who knows?
I'm not entirely sure, by designing a new logo, air quotes, for America Online.
Well, they did a full identity campaign here, from what I see.
Yes, yes, they actually did quite a bit of stuff.
It's not only the identity mark, and Jason has not seen this,
I have printouts here. We are keeping them from Jason to get his live on-air reaction.
But it's not only the identity mark, but it's also how it could be incorporated.
It's a logo design identity package. I believe that the reason for this is that AOL has spun back off from Time Warner.
Correct.
So they decided...
In one of the worst business moves of all time.
Let's take our perfectly fine logo, which is perfectly fine. We're looking at it right now.
When's the last time you've seen an AOL logo?
We can talk more about when people actually use AOL in just a minute. But first,
do you use AOL, by the way?
The only thing I use is AIM, and I use it on my phone.
Right. AIM on the iChat. Here, I'm gonna rock your world here. There it is.
My goodness.
they've went to the O and the L are now lowercase, so it's not like an acronym or something anymore. And there's a period afterwards, and then they can just slap it on top of anything. So they've got samples of like a goldfish, a dude giving the devil horns of rock and roll.
Can I throw it out there? What they've slapped it upon is stock photography images. I actually went on to Getty yesterday to see how fast I could find that goddamn goldfish. Well, I will throw it to you that I did not find the goldfish, but I only looked on Getty.
Maybe.
I did not look on iStock, which I think might actually be where those are from.
Maybe if you would actually pay for AOL service again, Nate, they could afford to use something more than iStock.
Dude, I used AOL. I mean, that's what I used in high school. That AOL was when the internet was young and...
The internet was starting in the 60s, when the internet was only in its 20s.
When it was young to all of us, and not just nerds.
Okay. Ah, boy. I don't know where to begin here.
Let's say a student hung that up on their wall as something they'd redesign in your class.
You really want to know what I would say?
Yes. Yeah. Let's say if one of your students put that up and said, Mr. Salentis, here is my final project. Because I've absolutely compared this to student work, so now I want to... absolutely looked at this and was like,
I think we've just set the bar, haven't we?
I think you've just insulted some of your students.
A couple of them I have.
I don't know why they went with the uppercase I.
That's a lowercase L.
See, I mean...
No, but is it?
That's the problem I have. That's the problem I have, is that I/L, it is just way too confusing.
You don't get to rewrite the rules of how acronyms work. You don't get to make OWL.
With all due respect, I mean, I love what they're trying to do here, but typographically, it really just does not lock up well together. Because be an L. This to me kind of reads like some kind of a fancy Japanese sauce. Is this AOL? AOE?
And if you guys are listening on your iPhone or in iTunes, you can look at the window and we've got pictures of this.
We're going to put the pictures in here. They have lots of samples. Under consideration.
Maybe I'll even try to put one of them over your face. Maybe that would work too. Probably not though.
Well, you'd have to knock out the background. That's a little bit
of effort. Yeah, it's a lot of work.
Anyway, Brand New had a great write-up about this and did a couple of those. By the way, here's also things you could knock it out of. And Alyssa Walker actually did a great write-up on Fast Company, which is where the first place that I heard about this. Typographically, I think it's dead in the water. I don't understand the period, though. I want to see an extension. Like, is it going to be AOL? Is that actually a dot? And is it going to be .com,
no.
AOL.mail.org or something?
I think the period is because it's like end of sentence and it's like end of AOL. AOL done.
See, now I can see that from like a perspective of looking at it after the fact, but I certainly couldn't see that.
No,
as,
I mean like
the company's selling
done.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so what does it mean if you're Wolf Olins and you're designing this? Because you cannot say to someone, by the way, your company's over, so we're putting a period at the end of this. Your asses are set.
Yeah, that one's a hard one to pitch to a client.
Right.
Well, this could very well have been an identity that was created in the boardroom. and you had a bunch of people around the table who just spouted off everything you did, and had the nice folks over at...
Oh, you mean like they want everyone in the boardroom wants some sort of input and everything?
Yeah. Hey, we need a period. Hey, we need a lowercase O. Hey, we need a lowercase L. Oh, we have to have a capital A.
This does have
We gotta have that capital A for America.
Because it's America. Now,
I'll bet you anything they pitched it with a lowercase A first.
It would look better, but it would not be American. It would be very un-American.
Right. You cannot not capitalize America.
There could be something about the period and the .com thing. Maybe they're going to create a new suffix instead of like .com or .org. Maybe it'll be .AOL.
AOL.
Yeah. How cool would that be?
That would actually be pretty thunderous. But then, and so in reference to a .com, in reference to, you know, dot anything, I sort of understand the period, but there's nothing that follows it. There's nothing in any of these that is a suffix. So it just is brain dead to me. And, you know, oh, we're going to have things on white backgrounds and knock them out. Like, I think we've all seen executions like that, and I'm a little saddened to see it on such a high-profile company.
Well, AIGA's identity has, if you actually look at their identity guidelines, actually allows you to put the AOL, or the AIGA logo over different pictures like that. But it's done well.
Right now in the artwork window, I want you to put the AOL logo into the AIGA logo. I want you to show that in the artwork. You can have Chris do it. Chris, can you do that?
Yeah, he can do that.
Awesome. Okay.
Yeah, that looks good. I mean, that looks fantastic.
I haven't seen it yet, but I believe that it must.
It's too bad they lost that mark that they had, that little triangle. There was a lot of potential with that triangle.
Yeah, you know what's really too bad is that they lost their entire company.
When did that happen? Before or after the new logo?
Oh, I mean, AOL's kind of been lost for a while.
Yeah.
And that's the broader topic. Like, I stopped using AOL when I went to college in 1997.
It's still news because everybody still remembers what AOL is, but nobody uses it.
Right. Well, what it is, it's like your first time.
And if you use TMZ on your iPhone, you're using AOL.
Okay.
TMZ is an AOL.
You throw
property.
A lot of TMZ in there. You want to know what the celebs are up to?
I'm reading this press release on Brand New right now. And this press release, the one shining area of this press release is that AOL owns juggernauts like TMZ and Engadget.
Oh.
So.
Oh, there's your
I did not know. So then if they own Engadget, they own that whole Engadget network of, I had no idea.
Yeah. So, you know,
Okay, so they're not doing bad for themselves.
They're okay.
They're like Unilever. They're more of a behind the scenes.
Yes. To the AOL identity actually means nothing. It's all about the subsidiaries.
Well, hell, that reframes my entire line of thought on this completely meaningless logo. It's perfect, then. We should make it out of little icons of birds and fishes and flowers and things.
Yeah.
I like the goldfish. It's cute.
I
They should have put the period, though, right where the goldfish's eye was.
That's too much work.
That'd be better.
you'd have to look at iStock for at least 20 minutes to find a photo that would line up well.
Oh, there's a movie, too. Click to play.
There was a movie I didn't. Yeah,
that's
I couldn't print it. Sadly,
do they? What do they show on
there? Paper yet?
Yeah, not yet. Maybe AOL will have that.
All right.
On this note, speaking of student work, we're going to give you a good student tip. Mig, take it away.
Mig, do it.
You know, Nate Donovan, I actually really like what we're talking about here with Jason about specializing in, you know, print versus web. In my own experiences, I actually went to school for, like Nate said, graphic design. But now I spend my days doing interactive design. And, you know, just as this point, when I was in school, I really wanted to be a print designer working in a small studio. And I realized maybe that isn't the best choice for me. And so my tip for this episode is to definitely specialize and be good at something. But the underlying tip is be open. Because in your career as a college student, you don't know where you'll end up. And we're way too young to know what we're going to be doing 8 years down the road or even 2 years down the road. So with the way technology is changing everything, you have to be open to what's possible and what's out there because you'll never know where you'll end up. And just case in point, again, I'm doing interactive design where I totally thought I was going to be a print designer. So I definitely agree with what everyone's saying here. Specialize and be really damn good at something, anything, because employers want to hire only the best. But in the end, know that there are options out there, and if you're open to it, you'll find new avenues of success. So there's the tip. So back to you guys.
That was once again fantastic. Thank you, man.
I'm happy with having MIG tips, and I just, it's catchy.
Okay, Jason.
Dude's got his own theme song.
Now we want to talk to you. You've got an actual book deal. You're writing with Rockport.
Well, I'm working on a book right now with Rockport Publishers.
And what's the name?
It's tentatively titled Typology. It's all about typography.
Typology. He says tentatively because we know how these books run. It's going to be 800 words because they're going to throw it in. It'll be
typology, the use of type and typography in typographically based graphic design, graphic type. That'll be your subject.
From designers, graphic designers, design firms, agencies
across the world in typography graphics.
I'm looking at a way to tie the print version of the book into the web, and if the title does wind up being that long, I'll just put a link on the front. People can click on it on their web browser, and they can see the gigantic title.
No, I think the entire title should be .com.
.AOL.
Yeah, there you go.
That's nice. Just start title on your book.com.
Yeah.
Like that.
I love URLs that are 4,000 characters long.
Anyway, so tell us a little bit about the book. What's the elevator pitch? What is it?
The elevator pitch is that it'll be a book showcasing some of the best type used in graphic design over the past 3 years.
All right.
And some of the things that we're going to try to show students are some of the brass tacks. You know, where do you start when you get to the font menu? Because it's like a never-ending stream of typefaces.
That's brilliant. My students waste hours.
You start and you end on Helvetica. I saw the movie. Done. Okay, next.
That's it.
That's what you got out of watching Helvetica?
Yeah.
I don't think
you're paying attention. That's the font menu, Helvetica. Done.
Okay. Anyway, so is it geared more towards like educating younger designers and bringing them up to speed in the world of type?
It'd be a great book for students. It'd be a great book for working professionals. And that other niche, too, is those folks who did get an awful lot of web design through their education or through work and who just want a little bit more about typography, they could pick up the book.
And when is the book coming out?
Tentatively scheduled for 2011.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we'll be keeping you updated on it.
Yeah, we'll expect monthly status updates. You let us know how it's going. So we're not just looking at, you know, like headline type or check out, you know, this fresh logo typeface that's been designed, but this, you're getting it into, you know, like page layout, how to, you know, bricks a copy and all that thing.
Oh yeah.
Really dialing into it.
Type as a line, a single word, type as a measure, a big body of type as a layout. Type as a system that you apply across corporate identity or that you apply across web pages or, like you said, magazines. Yeah.
I've got a question for you. What is the role of the pica to the modern designer?
Absolutely nothing.
Okay. I was like, man, he's either going to say not really anything at all or he's going to own me on this question.
Parenthetically, I want to say in the United States.
Probably true. I don't have much information about that.
Many typographers or graphic designers in Europe will use the pica, and I have been told that many Canadian designers still use the pica.
Nice. We should ask Marianne about that. She seems like the type that might.
She'd be a good one to hit up about that.
But
chime in if any of you guys use the pica that are listening now.
I would love to know how many of our listeners still rock a pica.
Also, chime in on why I should care about using the pica and if I should switch over to it myself.
Well, with modern technology, it's like it just doesn't really matter unless you're speccing like a newspaper or something. But throwing it back to teaching, I taught typography not too long ago, and I certainly did take the time to introduce my students to the pica.
Yeah.
And here's the measurement. Yeah. I even had him spec a couple things using them. And before I finally, at the end of it, came down and said, yeah, you know what? You're probably never really going to use this.
So, no, I'll throw points at him. Every so often.
I don't think you can get out of this industry without knowing your way around some
points. I'll throw pixels at him, too. And that gets them all disheveled. But pixels and points are basically the same
thing. Yeah,
right.
Well, all right. I feel like we're about good. We got a student tip out of MIG. Jason, do you have any student tips for us? Can we double up on this show?
Just have a lot of stick-to-itiveness.
Stick-to-itiveness.
Oh, and we should ask him, since you're writing a book on type, we should bring back the taboo typeface.
I like that. We don't do that too often.
We haven't done a taboo typeface in a while. It's like a typeface that should either be banned or that's been overused or should take a break or something.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
One typeface to be banned?
Yes. One typeface you'd like to never see again.
Or that you would like to not see for a while, and why?
Ooh, boy, that's hard. I don't know if I really don't have the power to do anything like that. I could not go
He loves all typefaces? Is that what you're telling me?
He's throwing together a book about type. I can see...
He doesn't want to discriminate on his type.
Is there
going to
be a special page dedicated to, like, proper use of papyrus?
Well, if
you going to have a bad using bad fonts section? Because you know sometimes someone's going to ask you to use Funhouse. You're going to have to know how to do it.
Yeah. Where do you start with those? Well, papyrus, I think James Cameron has proved with Avatar that papyrus still has a life.
You can rock papyrus.
Despite what many
people say. You spend $300 million on a movie. You just throw that on papyrus.
Yes, any typeface you want. I could never go so far as to ban a typeface. Mm. I think that it's all about the way you use it. Exactly. Funhouse could have a proper application. I've used...
You know what? I love the holy crap out of Cooper Black.
I do, too. I just saw Bananas by Woody Allen again for the, 100th time, and it just got me all happy about Cooper Black again because he uses it in his opening titles.
I was down in Lincoln, the next town over, if you're not from around here, and there was a Payless shoe store that still had the old Cooper Black-based Payless logo, and I just drove by that going, yeah. I try to push my students to use it when they can, but they don't have the know-how yet. I think Cooper Black is an acquired taste for mature designers.
I will go
Let's
with that.
Let's go out on that, Donovan Berry. Okay. This has been the Reflex Blue Show. Thank you to Jason Salinas for joining us today. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks.
Hope you're enjoying your time back in town. And
We'll see y'all in a couple weeks.
We'll see everyone back in, I guess, 2 weeks. If it's not December, it will be by then.
All right.
All right. Sounds good.
To send questions or comments to The Reflex Blue Show, please visit 36point.com. The Reflex Blue Show is hosted by Nate Voss and Donovan Beery, music produced by Dust Lab. Find out more at myspace.com/dustlab.